Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, folks? I think we're live. I'm not sure. There's some kind of weird stuff happening, but here we go. It's Made for Nation Radio Show.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942. Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives, big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com, the official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Yes, indeed, folks. That's Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. You can catch all his new stuff, Music on a Mission, Storyteller Edition, which is where we get our Star Spangled Banner from that we play at the end of every show. So you want to head on over to DaveBrayUSA.com. Get yourself a copy of Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition, and other live updates for his concert shows and merchandise and all kinds of things. And, of course, you heard my friend Rob's wonderful site, LibertyRush.com. It's social media without the libtarded rhetoric. You want to head on over there as soon as you can because, when all else fails, all other social media fails. Liberty Rush rocks on. You know what I mean? So, of course, I've been doing this a lot lately to start the show. I have a Bible app, and right around showtime every week, it's time to pray. And it gives a Bible verse and some inspiration and a prayer. So, let's do it. This verse, tonight's verse, comes from Proverbs 10, verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. In these verses, we are once again told to trust in the Lord. Every time we are reminded of this, we are also given a promise. In this case, we are promised that God will bring forth our righteousness and our judgment. When we commit ourselves to the Lord, we put our cares in his hands. We trust him to maintain our reputation. We no longer have to justify ourselves to anyone. We don't have to worry about any aspirations people may cast on us. He has it covered. If we but trust him, we can stop wasting time trying to prove ourselves to other people and let God himself bring our story to light. Father, save us from the need to justify ourselves to others. Help us to stop worrying so much about how others see us. Instead, let us commit ourselves to you. Help us to trust you to take care of our reputation and let others say whatever they want about us. You will always reveal the truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hallelujah. So, hit something there. I don't know what that is. B flat major. We're not playing no music. No. Is that coming over the air? I don't know. Anyway, folks, there's a lot of stuff shaking in the news. The Supreme Court's been very busy. We're going to get to some of the issues that they are issuing on. I don't know what's happening here. I got something going on with my equipment. I don't know how to work it too good yet. So something's going on with the music here. I do not know how to turn it off. Every once in a while I might say something, I suppose. I'm not sure. But, you know, we had Supreme Court decisions came down on prayer in school. Supreme Court decisions came down on Roe v. Wade. There's some robot-sounding stuff going on with this system, but it sounds pretty cool in my headphones. So we'll be touching on a lot of that stuff in the second half of the show. We do have a possibility of a candidate for Congress District 11, Laura Luma, joining us in the second half of the show. But we are here in the first half of the show, and we are going to be getting to our featured guest this evening. As I've started my candidate series for the midterm elections, we had Anthony Arendz on last week. If you heard the show, hope you like what he's doing. If that's your guy, if he's your candidate, make sure you vote for him if you like what you heard last week. If you didn't hear it last week, head on over to www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. Look for last week's date, Thursday, and fast forward to the 60-minute mark, and you can hear the Anthony Arendz candidate first candidate on the candidate series here at the Patriot Nation Radio Show and the Patriot Nation Radio Network. So we're trying to, let folks hear the candidates, local candidates here in my neck of the woods where I'm at. Because, folks, if you want to change D.C., you got to change your local neighborhood first and the way things are going in your county and in your state before you can make it to the federal level and make a difference. I believe it starts at the local level. And there are really important races in your local level, so like city council, county commissioners, and, of course, the ever-cherished seat on the school board. The school board is a very difficult position to hold in any county. And our guest tonight is running for District 4, I believe, is for the county school board. I've met her a few times. She's a fantastic lady. She spends a lot of time in the school system, in the schools, riding buses and doing all kinds of things. She's really hands-on with the schools, unlike some of the other candidates that are running in this race who really don't have a hat in the race. But, you know, we're going to save that, all that stuff for another time, because tonight we just want to find out about our school board District 4 candidate, Pam Everett. Welcome to the show, Pam.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me. Just to start off, though, I am running for running for school board District 5.
District 5. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, 4's got two more years to wait.
Oh, boy.
Nope, you're fine. You were close.
All right, Pam. So let's first start out like I did with Anthony. This is how I want to kind of start out each of these candidate shows. Tell us a little bit about Pam. Like, where were you born? Where did you go to school? And how did you wind up in Hernando County?
Well, I'm originally from Jackson, Michigan. I came down here about 33 years ago. My family, my husband and my kids, we came down. My family slowly migrated down here to Hernando County, and I was the last one to come. So this is home now. I am quite active in the community. My oldest is 40. I am raising my grandchildren, and the youngest is 13. So I've been in the school system for many years. I've seen many changes, good, bad, and the ugly. So I have been acting as a parent involved with PTAs and SAC meetings from the get-go. Then started as a parental liaison when we had government funding for them in the school. So I did that for a year, then the funding went away. After that, I became active in the school system against the FSA FCAT. I had then a third grader who was honor roll, on superintendents, good grades, good kid, the whole nine yards, perfect school role model to move on into the upper grades. FSA was the test that I decided I did not feel appropriate. I got to proctor in the classroom when the test was being taken, and I didn't like what I seen. They whitewashed the classroom. They didn't allow the children to move. And I mean, they were not allowed to move. They sat in a chair as if it was a prison cell. I mean, it was horrible. And when they were done with their test, it was a lengthy test. And at the time, I can't remember, but I want to say well over 2 hours. When they were done, they weren't allowed to read a book, move. They had to sit there and stare straight ahead. With that being said, and nobody was allowed to look at this test, and the first thing that was said was, you will not talk to your parents about this test or repeat anything that you've read from this test. Well, I had a problem with that.
Yes.
You can. These kids are allowed to talk to their parents on any subject taught in school. And here they were telling them not to talk to them. So that was the first red flag. So I became active in an opt-out group, which then at the time was nationwide, and they were looking for people that were opposing this test. Well, my hand went up immediately. And there were 14 of us in the state of Florida. 7 of us were Hernando County parents. We took on the lawsuit. We sued the Department of Education, and each of us in our own district sued our school district. So I and 6 others sued Hernando County School District. We did win the lawsuit to be hauled back into court for a countersuit. We lost on venue. What that means is we didn't lose on why we went to court. We lost because of where we held court. And Hernando County led the way on this one. They had hired a couple extra attorneys to take on the case. And they felt that we should take it to each district and sue the schools themselves individually. Well, we wanted this to be a statewide law. Well, we lost that one all the way to the Supreme Court to last seconds to have it thrown out of court. So the FSA stayed, continued to fight it for 8 years. Governor DeSantis, great man that he is, signed off on it. We now have stopped the FSA. We have another new test coming forward. Not sure what that test is going to entitle, but
I'm
it
sure
will be starting
not
at our
entitle, I'm sure it's not going to entitle, and children, you cannot go home and speak to your parents about what's on this test.
Well, this better be the first law of the land that never tells a child that they cannot go home and talk to their parents. I encourage parents to talk every day about what they learn in school. The new test,
and
I would encourage
the children of these parents, like mine, that if they tell you something like that, you come home and tell me right away that they're telling you you can't speak. Because, they're telling the wrong kid that.
Definitely. You have to have that open line of communication with your child. You need to know what they're doing. But that goes back to allowing the parents in the school. I think a parent should be able to enter that school at any given time.
Any time and walk right to there and be allowed in, make sure they're cleared and they're good and they're safe and they're not doing anything stupid. They should be able to go right to their kid's class.
Exactly. I mean, an unannounced visit, I think, is the best visit.
Yeah.
That you should be able to walk into that classroom at any given time and know that they're being taught appropriate lessons. They're safe, and there is nothing to hide.
Yeah, I saw a candidate for state representative was fighting for a book to be pulled. And I saw what the district did. They didn't pull the book. They just moved it to another section. I guess it's the public library.
Okay, I'm probably the one that you heard that from. There was another group that found a book, inappropriate, very inappropriate.
Yes, I've seen some of the excerpts from the book, horrifying, and it was for 12 to 18-year-olds.
Yeah,
18-year-olds I can understand maybe, but 12-year-olds, no.
No, there is no reason for that book to be there. But there is a protocol. There is a procedure you have to file to remove a book. That takes too long. So the quick fix is to pull it off the shelf. And I had said put it under the counter, in the back room, somewhere out of reach of the kids. Because by law, you can't just pull it off the shelf. There is a protocol. Right. There's papers that have to be filled. They have to go to the Department of Education. There's a committee that has to go through. There is a lengthy procedure. Quick fix, get it out of there.
Right. Take the book out and never retire it.
Well, that's the whole thing. But the quick fix before it has to go through the legal procedures is to get it out of there. And, again, that isn't at district. We need to make the change at the Department of Education up in Tallahassee to change these protocols of procedures that are taking way too long.
Right.
We need more parent involvement so when books come in, they can view them.
Yeah, how about like
we're not
a,
all going to agree.
I think there should be like a maybe a like three parent committee that reviews the books and the textbooks as well as whoever's involved in the school district that reviews the books, so that it's got a double layer of protection to make sure these books. Because I'm not sure. I watched a meeting, and during this, I don't like to mention other candidates. Because they're going to have a shot maybe to come on the show. So we will just kind of reference other candidates and what they may have done or not done. They've done some things. One of the candidates, I believe his wife, was reading a book that had, I believe her daughter got from the library. And she was like in third grade. And she started reading the book in the school board meeting. And they said, ma'am, you can't read that in this school board meeting. That's horrifying. And she was like, well, why? My third grade kid can read this. Can't I read it here
in
the school board meeting?
Yeah, that was in another district because my opponents don't have kids. So, yes, that was in a different district.
Right. But it was important because I think there was a review of textbooks. And was it six books were removed from the school? Reading curriculum for kids?
Yeah, possibly not in this district. There wasn't six. There was a few, but not six. The problem is we don't have the parent involvement. We get the involvement after something happens. We need to be proactive. We need to set a committee up and get the parents involved.
Because right now a lot of parents are using the schools as, I'm busy, it's a state-run, federally run babysitting service where they actually maybe learn a couple of things too while they're at it.
Exactly, they are. I mean, a lot of parents are using them just for that. And it's a shame, it's sad because they're losing time also with their kids they can't get back.
Pam,
so
I can't
we
tell
need.
You. Here at our house, homework is a chore, but it's something that needs, if they have it, they got to do it. And we don't give in. The kid don't want to do it. He's crying, screaming, yelling, no, it's too much. I don't care. You got to do it, and you got to be on top of him. Then you know what?
Exactly.
When the report card comes in and they make the honor roll at the end of the year, you can pat him on the back and take him to the water park.
Exactly. and they might not like you at that moment, but, in the long run, they're going to thank you.
One day.
They're
going to
appreciate it. They're going to appreciate it because you're going to give them skills that they wouldn't have got otherwise. I mean, homework, that's, we can look at it as a job. You have to finish the job. You got to take it to completion. So you're doing them a great service.
So
by
now
making
you've been doing a lot of great things for our school district. How much of the things you do right now are voluntary, that you're not getting paid for, that you're donating all your time and resources, gas, everything? Everything you do is voluntary?
Everything, 100%. I charge nothing. I do it. I do it because I believe in it.
So they were having some issues on the school buses, so you rode around on school buses?
Yeah. I went
time.
And got on my own time. There is a position called an attendant. Many of our buses do lack them. I hopped around on different buses, so I got a good feel of different schools, different routes, behavior of the children. So I did this for January to the end of the year. So for the 6 months, I did it twice a week.
Amazing. And you gave input to the school district? So so that they can reevaluate the busing?
Well, that's it. They need to sit down, reevaluate, and then that goes back to pay. You know, you want people that are qualified on those buses to drive and to assist the driver and attend to the kids. You need qualified people. To get qualified people, we have to pay them.
Correct.
And it is kind of insulting what we're paying them, considering these children are the most precious things we have.
I see a help wanted ad for bus drivers. I think it said $12 an hour to start, plus a CDL training.
Yeah. And well, we're up to 15 now because of, you know, the governor has raised the start of our pay. But still, $15 an hour when we got some people in districts that are making six digits. Where's
the comparison? I see some of these kids, the way they act on buses. They actually make it dangerous.
Yes.
They're jumping around
TikTok,
and yelling and screaming.
TikTok seems to be their entertainment on the buses.
Right.
And that does kind of keep them in the seat. But I think parents would really be shocked. Even the parents that says, my child knows better than to act like that. Some of the things I've seen, and even the children I know, when there's more than one child, they kind of follow lead.
Just by my own experience of how I was as a kid, I know how kids can be. I was the bad kid.
Yeah.
I wasn't a bully.
I didn't pick on
other kids, but I didn't take direction well, and I didn't like grown-ups telling me what to do. So I was very rebellious when it came to authority.
Exactly. These drivers, you know, they need to have their full attention on that road.
Yep.
I mean, I've seen people fly by the buses when the lights are all on. Kids are unloading and loading, and they have disrespect for the bus itself. Cars will go around them. Dangerous situation. That's why they need that attendant, so that driver can pay attention to what's going on, and then the assistant behind them can deal with the kids.
As a member of the school board, will you be fighting to get attendance on the buses?
We need to make that. Well, you know, and a lot of people don't even know that job's available. But we need to make it appealing that they want to ride that bus and get quality people on there to take care of our kids. I mean, really, that's what it's boiling down to. We need someone to oversee our kids for, you know, and some of them are ridiculously long, up to an hour or more. So we need someone to be on that bus to keep them safe, helps to keep them safe. But the kids also need the discipline from home that they know that they're supposed to, how they're supposed to be.
When our son acts up on the bus, he has consequences. That's the problem nowadays is parents give their kids consequences, but the consequences include their tablet or their device or their video game, and it's really not a punishment.
No, it's not. And I've even seen parents, you know, they don't hear what's happened. They're either quick to blame the school system without even knowing what's going on, or because they don't want to deal with it, just get in the car, I'll buy you that shake on the way home, don't worry about it. Well, they're not learning anything from the punishment. So I'm for Saturday school, 8 to 4. I'll come in there and sit. You know, come in, do your homework. There's something you could do. If not, you don't have any work to do, let's pick up the school grounds. Consequences.
Right.
You know, and I get it. Parents work. You know, I did that when my kids were in school. I worked. If we inconvenience the parents a little bit, maybe they'll step up and parent their children also. I can't say everybody is that. Not everybody falls into that. But if there's consequences all the way around, maybe we can start nipping
this in the bud. Is that storm rolling
in your
neighborhood too? There's a big storm outside right now, Pam.
Yeah, I hear it roll every now and then.
Oh, it's loud, getting loud by me.
Oh, well, I'm north of the county, so it's not up quite up here yet.
I'm all the way by the local library.
Okay, you're going to get the gist of it, I think,
It's coming. Yeah, I see on my switchboard. There's a couple of phone numbers there, but nobody's pressed the secret button. So I don't know if they're Laura or not. So if Laura Luma happens to be on the line, yes, I think we got a button pressed. So it may be Laura. So let's see, we are at 8:25. So that's one of the things you want to fight for. Hold on, Laura, we'll be getting to you just here in 2 seconds. That's one of the things, attendance on school buses. What are your intentions with the bullying problem to try to stave off the ridiculousness that these fight clubs and these videos that we're seeing being posted on Facebook groups? What can be done about that, and what are you going to try to do as a school board member to fight that issue?
Well, actually, that is something I actually do with my advocating, because I do advocate for IEPs 504, and a lot of that has to do with mental health. I mean, we have different levels of mental health. We got some that are physical disabilities and mental. We have behavioral. So the whole bottom line is we got to figure out where the problem it lies, and then we need to follow through. Right now, we're not documenting properly. We need to document properly, follow through with procedures. We need mental health help. Not all these kids react because they're just mean or bad. There's a reason behind a lot of these behaviors, whether it's a mental issue or a home issue. We need to
getting
have
out the frustration.
The environment. Exactly. And we need to find out what's causing them. I mean, if a child is picked on daily, just tormented, that child eventually is going to snap. It's been proven in Parkland. Look at Parkland. The child had mental issues.
When I was a kid, I was a scrawny little son of a gun. But I'll tell you what, I didn't care if a guy was 9 feet tall. If he was picking on somebody and pushing him around, I stood in the way. I didn't care. Look, pick on someone your own size. Get the heck out of here. You know, and I had kind of a reputation of sticking up against the bullies for people. Because I couldn't stand that crap.
Well, that goes back to the antecedent. What was the cause of your bullying? It wasn't really bullying. You were being the defender. What caused you seeing other children pick on other children? There's always a reason behind the outburst, and we need to address that. You know, whether it's mental illness. I mean, again, going back to Parkland, that was a mental illness that was getting brushed under the rug by not documenting, not following through with procedures. Eventually, they could snap. We got to prevent that. And with our SROs and our guardians.
The kid in Texas, too, he got in trouble and said, I'm going to come back and I'm going to do this. And then 4 years later, he came back and did exactly what he said. And then and no one ever did nothing, ever followed up, watched, kept an eye on this kid.
We need to follow up. Always follow up. We cannot just say, oh, that's him being angry. Maybe so. But do we want to take that chance? We need more mental health facilities for these kids to go to, because as of right now, they leave the county. If they're Baker acted, they leave the county. There is no facility here. Parents have complained about after our help. You know, at 3 o'clock, they don't just go away.
I talk a lot about this issue with the mental health when it comes to the guns. People, you know, I personally know someone who had mental issues, schizophrenic. And when they were on their medicine, you would never know they had schizophrenic problems. But only take medicine one dose, and the imbalance went crazy, and it would take 30 days to get them regulated again. And in those 30 days, they do all kinds of things sometimes. You know, their mental state is they're paranoid, they're scared. And a lot of times these guys, when they're on their medication, and they've never committed a crime, they have the proper identification, everything looks great. They walk into a store, they buy a gun. No one thinks about it. Then one day he misses his medicine. Now he's paranoid. He's scared. He's a schizophrenic. He hears voices.
Nope.
And these people are now out amongst us in the population. And in the past, they would be in a facility. They wouldn't be out amongst us. I hate to say that people need to be in a facility. But when you have schizophrenic tendencies that include violence, maybe straitjackets and rubber rooms aren't a bad place for people that have serious, severe situations not walking around in public where they can buy firearms and then stop their medicine.
So we don't even have the facilities to monitor
right,
because
they closed them all back in the day. They closed them all back in the day. And I remember when that happened. And that's, if you go back in time, I bet if you look around the time they started closing these facilities, that's when this all this type of shooting stuff started getting more and more prevalent. I bet there's a correlation between that. I've never done the research, and I think maybe I should do that research here. And maybe there's a correlation there.
Possibly, yeah. Maybe the research should be done on that. But we're just not doing the job. I mean, the pay to get the staff that we need to handle these children is not there.
Right.
It's a tough
position.
Athletes
make millions and teachers make thousands. I think it should be the other way around.
Well, and they got there because of what? A teacher.
Right.
Everybody has gotten
the real heroes.
They are.
We're holding the wrong heroes to high esteem.
They are on the ground. Definitely.
We're holding
the wrong
heroes. Yep. They're the ones in the fight every day. And believe it, your kids' personalities are definitely influenced by what they're getting in the classroom from their teachers, too. So it's not – but think about how many hours they spend in school. Not only are they spending all these hours with you at home, but they're probably spending more hours at school. I know I spend more hours at work now than I do with my family, awake hours. You know, of course, I spend many hours sleeping. So if someone wants to help your campaign or volunteer or do something to help out with you, how can they help you?
Well, they can either donate to my PayPal. It's Pam Everett for school district. I do have websites on Facebook, Pam Everett. Just go to that website. I have two. One's my personal, which will lead you to my political. I'm easy to get a hold of. I really am. If anybody finds me on Facebook, just under Pam Everett. I'm easy. Just send me a private message. If you want help with your child in school with an IEP 504, any concerns on the schools, I have pretty good access to come in. I've been doing it long enough where I am in and out of the schools. I do attend meetings with the parents, which gives me access to their child's records and everything to help find the deficiency on why they have a reading gap, why they're not getting services, whatever the reason. I'm easy to find. I will always return your email or your phone call, and you can email me at bettereducationservices@gmail.com.
That's awesome. And one last question. If people are on the fence and they're not sure who they want to vote for school board, what would you say to them to convince them to vote for Pam Everett for District 5 school board?
Do you want somebody who's been involved in the schools almost daily for the last 9 years, or do you want someone who just came out of nowhere, no involvement in schools, control your child's future?
No, ma'am.
Involvement. I am there.
And I'd like to say this right now, ladies and gentlemen. There are other candidates running for District 5, but Patriot Nation Radio Network and the Patriot Nation Radio Show fully endorses Pam Everett for School Board District Number 5. That is an official announcement here on the live show Thursday, 8 o'clock, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Oh, wrong button. There we go.
Well, thank you.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do the laughter. I like to laugh. Laughter is funny. Pam, I want to thank you so much for your time coming on the show this week. Keep up the good fight. You got my vote. Love you, and you're more than welcome to stick on and listen to the next half of the show. It should be a good one.
Oh, I plan to stay on and listen, and thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, Pam Everett for School Board District 5, Hernando County.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show, and that was a really cool segment. I really enjoyed that. Always a good chat with Pam. She's a great patriot and awesome person to know. I'm glad I know her. And it was fun. We were at a mutual friend's house, and they had a water slide and a bubble-making machine, and they had a foam party out in the yard, and there was Pam going down the slide with the kids. It was pretty epic. And I don't know who we got on the line. I had asked that Laura Luma would call in. So is this Laura?
To me?
Yes, you.
No, it's Carla. I was actually just calling to boost Pam because I was listening. It was clear the call in that it was on the website.
Ladies and gentlemen, Carla, very active also at going to school board meetings. And hold on a second here. Let's bring Pam back in. Hey, Pam, say hello to Carla.
Take you off mute. Good evening, Carla.
Hi. No, honestly, I just called in to boost her because, I mean, I was listening, but it was clearer to call in than it was from the website. But, you know, the thing is, there was a few things that was said. I mean, so for one, she's running for District 5, not District 4.
Yep, we cleared that one up.
Yeah, well, I couldn't hear that because the website wasn't working. And the thing is that people need to understand that for a candidate running, disregard the fact she's a good friend of mine, but she became my good friend because she helped me with IEPs with my son.
Right.
Because she was an advocate. She came forward, and the whole friendship started because of some crap happening at district as far as the zoning and school choice and all that other fun stuff. But the one thing that struck my interest was the pornographic books that were read at that school board meeting in November, which was a 10 a.m. school board meeting. I took my 12-year-old and my 4-year-old to that meeting. And not just one, but two of them read two full pages of books out of the libraries, and nobody stopped them. They were, like, in complete shock. And honestly, Pam was the first one to step up and say, okay, we get the point. Okay, just because the stuff got into – they got it from a public library. I can tell you that right now because I saw the label on the end of the book.
Right.
They got it from the public library. And that is the narrative that her opponent is using, and that's his only line of defense for running for school board. He doesn't have a leg to stand on, and the other one doesn't have the leg to stand on. Why do we need homeschool parents running for school board dictating our children's future when it will not directly affect them?
And it's been my experience all throughout my radio show career, coming up on going over 9 years now, that a lot of people use certain platforms to accelerate their political career to higher aspirations, for lack of better phrasing.
Right.
Well, I got to sound like a radio guy sometimes, you know.
But, I mean, I'm sorry, don't gamble. Don't gamble my children's education for your future political rising. And that's where
Amen.
I come as a parent with 5 children in this school district. No, Pam is the only qualifying candidate to sit on that board. She knows what's going on the inside. She knows financials because in all due reality, the school board is ran like a business.
Yes.
And it needs to be looked at like a business. And that is something the other candidates have failed to get the memo on.
Amen. There's one school board member that I notice seems to always have a hand in the fight all the time on the right side, although we may not always agree with things. And I don't know where you stand, Pam, with this candidate. But Jimmy Lodato, I think has done, I hope he'll come on the show. He's maybe pissed off at me, I don't know, for things that happened in the past. Maybe not, because he's been rubbing elbows with everybody who was involved in that situation too. So, but I'll hopefully get him on. I kind of got my vote for Jimmy Lodato this time around, just mainly because of his fight for the kids during the pandemic crap. He really stuck his neck out there for the kids every time, and he was outvoted every time. And that alone, whether we agree or disagree on issues, that alone tells me he's in it for the right reasons. He's in it for the best interest of the kids. So,
Jimmy is the best. He is the best. He loves what he does, and he does not have a ulterior motive. he does what is best for the children and the staff of the Hernando County District.
I broke my own rule and I mentioned another candidate. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but Jimmy's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And hopefully we get him on to tell folks why we should vote for Jimmy LaDonna. I hope you're listening, Jimmy, and get in touch with me. We'll get you on the show. I'd be glad to have you. I'd be proud to have you. I know you might not like me too much after one of the last shows, but I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was an interesting show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hold on. I got to do this. Ready? And this is for me. Boo to me.
Yeah.
I love this gadget. Yeah. My in-laws up in New York got me this cool little soundboard thing with a microphone and headphones, and it's really neat. I have a lot of fun.
<That's>
Look,
awesome.
I can do this. Ready? Ladies and gentlemen, will not be infringed.
That's funny.
There's so much going on in this world right now. The Supreme Court decisions handed down are so controversial. It's unbelievable. But there was one that came down that I thought was amazing, and I will be having, I believe, this person coming on the show here in the near future, Coach Kennedy, who took his prayer case all the way to the Supreme Court and won a huge victory for public prayer and prayer in school. I've reached out to them, and we will be soon tentatively getting him on the show to speak about this amazing thing that took place. The Supreme Court's really been siding with the people. I don't know if you heard also last week I had Luis Valdez from Gun Owners of America, Florida, and the Supreme Court decision that came out of these two guys in New York who wanted to have carry permits, and they had, I guess in New York you have to have a specific reason why you feel you need a gun, and their reason was because I have to walk around in New York and I want to be protected, and it wasn't good enough, and they denied them their permits, and they took it to the Supreme Court and won. So now even in New York State they have to issue concealed permits, so that's a huge victory for the Second Amendment, which is very big right now. And we are pushing in Hernando County for a in the state of Florida, a constitutional carry law that Governor DeSantis has actually said, get it to my desk and I will sign it. And it's going to be done before my term ends. Constitutional carry will happen in Florida. Then you have clowns like Wilton Simpson at the helm. It's not going to have clown out. We got to get him out of politics. Do not vote for him for agriculture secretary. He is the red flag lawman. He's the one that was very synonymous in the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas anti-gun bill that came out of that tragedy, because of people always blaming the gun and not the person holding it. I don't know about you guys. I tell people I bought a gun. I took it out of the box. I put the bullets into the magazine, I laid it on the table, and I walked past it every day for a week, insulting it, saying mean things to it, and it never, ever got mad and shot me. It's crazy. You know what I mean? That son of a gun never shot me. You know, he never did, so... I love this stuff. It's so much fun. I love it. But, you know, and then there's another topic I don't even want to get on, especially it's being so twisted, and the lies are incredible that are coming from the left, from the right, from the court, wherever. It's just amazing. It's the overturning of Roe v. Wade. For me, I believe kicking Roe v. Wade off the federal level is a good thing. And that's all that happened. It says now that the federal government will no longer be involved in that field. Abortions is not something, and to me that's good because I don't support it. I think if someone wants that, that's their own choice, their own decision, but I don't want any of my money in any way going to fund it because I'm not into it. Schaefer, most people keep saying, and I keep hearing things like, oh, my God, you're going to have backroom abortions and people are going to do this and people are going to do that. It's going to be horrible. No, it's not. Even in Florida, you have up to 15 weeks. You know, in New York has a law on the books right now where a woman could be dilating. Man, you can still have an abortion.
Mm-mm.
What?
Yeah.
They have that on the books in New York right now. And I tell people that's not going away. And now that they have it in their own hands, they're going to enhance the laws and they're going to make them even more crazy to where even pro-choice people are going to be like, what? They have to be. So it's not going away.
But the other problem that's coming in are people are doing the exact same thing with the HB 1557. They proclaimed it as the Don't Say Gay bill. But they're
right.
doing the same thing with this. They are
yep.
thinking, oh, well, if I have a miscarriage or if I have a tubal pregnancy, I'm going to die and I'm not going to get the care I need. And that's not the case at all.
That's awful.
You're not murdering a baby or slash fetus, as the scientists like to put it. The
right.
baby has already passed. Therefore, they have to give you the care you need because the mother's
right.
life is at stake. And that's
yes.
what people are misunderstanding. So we've got the same thing
yes.
happening all over again with this.
Yep. That's one of the debates I'm having with a family member who is a millennial generation in a university in New York. And, you know, they're being so manipulated by the news that they watch, and it's so obvious by the statements that they make. They're doing no research on their own, and they're just listening to the rhetoric that's being spewed across the airwaves and instead of actually going, that sounds weird. Let me look further into that. How could that be? How could they allow that? There's no way that that's going to be allowed, that if someone has an ectopic pregnancy, a fetus in the tube, that they're not going to address that and they're just going to let the mother die. That's ridiculous. And
exactly.
But she's on that boat, and she's even thrown in contraceptives. Oh, they're not going to allow contraceptives. I have this condition, and these contraceptives have helped. I'm like, they're not. What does abortion have to do with contraceptives? If anything, they're going to be pushing the contraceptives even more. So I don't know where that came from. You can't argue with them, because once you start throwing facts at them, throwing gas on a fire, they get enraged. They turn into, I'm talking about my own family member. They turn into raging Karens, like maniacs. So this is why I don't talk to these people about this type of stuff. But I couldn't hold my tongue for one second, and I made a comment, you know. And so now we're off.
You know what? People get so easily offended if you say something that they don't agree with, or they name call if
yeah.
they don't. If you don't agree with them 110%, and that's the problem with society.
And here's another thing. There's a 12-year-old girl, and the asshole down the street decided he was going to sexually abuse this girl, and she gets pregnant. And the way the laws are, you could be a minor and walk into this place and get an abortion. So what's to say that this predator doesn't bring this young girl who doesn't need parental consent to get an abortion down to get rid of the evidence? And if you don't go in there and do this, young lady, I'm going to kill your mom. They say shit like that. And then all of a sudden, the kid's scared to death. Like, I don't want him to kill my mom. I have to do this. And then they go in and they get rid of the evidence. I don't. If it's going to be something along those lines, and I agree that, you know, it may be at 13 years old, the girl might get that procedure. I don't know. But you must save the evidence somehow, some way. Get the DNA and save the evidence so that in the future this scumbag might be caught.
Agreed.
Just a thought. You know, they're flushing the evidence. You need parental consent. I don't care. If you don't come in with your mom or your dad, you can't have this procedure. I'm not giving it to you. The doctor that would go ahead and give that procedure to someone like that should also be held liable and thrown in prison, because if a 14-year-old girl comes in and he performs a medical procedure like that without parental consent, that to me is way over the top.
No, agreed. Well, that also falls under the lines of them trying to push that children under the age of 15 can get the quote-unquote jab without parental
right.
consent. Now, granted, that's not happening here in Florida, but it is happening in other states. And New York happens to be the first one to push this to where any child who wants to get the jab can do it without their parents' consent. Unacceptable.
Way unacceptable. It's really just insane. When you... allowing minors to make major medical decisions like, hey, you know what? Maybe the school counselor can help me get hormone-blocking medication so I can become a girl. And I don't have to tell my parents because the school helped me. That would be just – and some of these people are pushing that, and Disney's pushing that kind of crap. And teaching kids sex education in kindergarten, you know, that gay sex is normal to kindergarten and third grade. Thank God we live in Florida and our – governor has an eye for common sense.
He has scruples and morals about him.
Well, you know, I showed my wife a picture of that floats around on the internet of Governor DeSantis in his naval uniform, in his dress uniform, and he's younger and he's in the military. And my wife's like, "Wow, man, he's really good looking." I said, "Yeah, that's your governor." Really? Yeah. So he's a handsome fella too, you know.
Well, that's
wife,
why we call him Daddy D.
And his wife and beat the cancer thing so far, so that's wonderful news. But I was mentioning that the sex education thing, Pam. Where do you stand on educating K through third grade on sex ed?
No, keep it out of schools. The parents can have complete control of that because just listening to you guys, you got different opinions than a lot of people, and maybe they don't want their child taught that way.
Right.
Sex education has no place in the school system, especially the babies.
I understand, like, the science part. This is a penis.
Well,
that's a vagina. This is what happens. And that's it.
Physical
don't
science
have to go into like
is different, yes.
Explaining
that is much
like
different
position
than,
or preference or
no,
you know,
we don't
maybe
need,
you should use this or that or do this or do, you know, none of that stuff. But teach the differences of the human body. Yes, this is a girl, this is a boy. Oh, wait, you can't do that.
Physical
because
science.
Then but if you do that, then you're offending the pansexual.
No, physical science is one thing. Teaching them intercourse and everything else in different positions and indoctrinating with different sexual choices, no.
And I can understand maybe when you get up to 12th grade and you're getting ready to go out into the world, maybe delving a little bit into the reproductive end of it, what happens when the two parts come together, then the dangers of it if you're not careful. But not when they're in kindergarten or third grade or even in fifth grade or sixth grade.
They don't understand, number one, and number two, they're just not ready for that. And no,
I remember when I was in second grade, I wasn't thinking anything like that. I was thinking about, I hope I don't miss that segment with Bert and Ernie. I love those guys. You know what I mean? That's what I was thinking in second grade.
And their then they had to turn. Let's teach them kids. They got the rest of their life to adults.
And I love Bert and Ernie. Now they made them gay. It's crazy.
I'm sorry, you didn't question that like 20 years ago? I'm just saying. We all grew up with Sesame Street, but wow.
I think Big Bird might be questionable, too.
Well, I mean, my whole thing with them, though, they started pushing, again, the narrative of the jab, and I won't allow my children to watch it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's crazy.
Nope.
It's unbelievable. But, you know, it's funny how as soon as they decided it wasn't an issue no more and that people were, like, tired of it, they just turned it off. It's gone now. All of a sudden, I see people catching the flu again. Like, oh, I got the flu. Oh, what do you mean you got the flu? I thought the flu was gone. Now people got the flu again. Like, what? Where'd that come from? The sniffles. Oh, people aren't afraid. If you get the sniffles and a scratchy throat, people aren't freaking out. You know, go to the doctor and get tested. Oh, my God. You know, it's crazy how it just was here and then it's gone. But it's still there. And, oh, we got variants and things are still happening, but they're not blasting it everywhere. And my guess is what they're doing is they're getting ready for the Democrats to sweep in and save the day right before the election. They're going to have some kind of thing. They're going to lower the gas prices, and the inflation is going to go down 0.5%, and they're going to be like, see, we're doing it. And you'll see. They're going to come up with something to save the day and try to make them look like. But I think the damage is done. I think they have blown it. I think there's a red wave coming here in November, and we will have maybe a chance in 2024 that Donald Trump comes back and keeps that Make America Great boat going in the right direction, because right now it's sinking. It's sinking fast, and they're doing everything they can so that we cannot have an election in 2022. That's just my own opinion. I believe they are fast-tracking their horrifying agendas, you know, just so they can lie, cheat, and steal in the next election and maybe get enough to win. I don't know. I don't trust the election no more. I'm going to stick my hand in the bucket, and I'm going to pull out my ballot, and I'm going to fill it out and hope for the best. But who knows? It's scary.
I still think Donald Trump should be our Speaker of the House due to his age, and our amazing governor should be president because he's younger with Floyd's
right.
children. And we have Candace Owens as vice president. And then we make Grady Judd the governor of Florida. I mean,
yes.
That would be, like, the best thing ever, because immediately you know he'd be like, open carry, every one of you, open carry.
Yep.
And that's
how things make. That would be great, because one of the greatest things I ever seen a sheriff say live on TV is, sir, you shot him 68 times. Is there a reason why you shot him 68 times? And he says, yeah, we ran out of ammunition.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
That's amazing. That's the greatest thing I've heard any sheriff say yet to date. We ran out of ammo. He would have shot 100 times.
He's awesome. He's been sheriff since I was a kid of Polk County, okay?
All right, well, we got 3 minutes left in the show. Folks, if you want to vote for Pam Everett for School Board District 5 in Hernando County, you can, and you can search her out on Facebook. Just search Pam Everett. It's spelled the way it sounds. Make sure you use 2 T's, of course, and seek her out on the internet and link up with her and help out her campaign. Talk to her, chit chat, send emails, message her. She's very transparent, open all the time, and you can talk to Pam. She's a perfect candidate. And like I said before, the Patriot Nation Radio Network fully endorses Pam Everett for School Board District Number 5. And I think, folks, we need more candidates like Pam who are in the schools, who got their feet to the fire every day and are trying to make a difference for your kids and for mine. It's very important that we have candidates that really care. And Pam is one, and we need to get her in as soon as possible to the school board of Hernando County. Again, Pam, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Carl, it was great. Made the show extra fun. It was fun already, but now we got some laughs. We got to do this a couple times. You know what I mean? All right, folks. And don't forget, next Thursday, same bat time, same bat channel, running for District 12 Congress. Pastor Jack Martin joins us live on the Patriot Nation radio show. He's got a really good shot this time, I think, compared to the last time. He's on the ballot. He made it. And as far as I can tell, just ain't for me. I'm voting full support behind Jack Martin also at the Patriot Nation Radio Network. He'll be here Thursday, 8 p.m. next week, live on the air. Can't wait to speak to Jack. He's a great friend. I've known him a long time. And with that, I want to say check out Wednesdays, the American Allegiance Show with Kevin White, and Tuesdays and Thursdays, A Conservative's Perspective with James Bostic. 7 p.m. Eastern, those shows both start. You don't want to miss those. And hopefully soon we get Gonzalo Duran back on the air. I know he's getting close. With that, I wanted to just jam out with this cool tune. This is the Star Spangled Banner, as performed by our good buddy Dave Bray. You can get this copy of this song, this very version, at www.davebrayusa.com. This is the Star Spangled Banner. Good night, and God bless America. Mm-hmm. This has been another episode of the Patriot Nation Radio Show. Thanks for tuning in. Tune in next week, 8 p.m., right here at the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Good night, and God bless.